Yep.
Okay, we've got the affordable housing ladder meeting at about 6:07. Let's see, we'll do the approval of the February 25th meeting. Any comments or?
Move to approve.
Second.
Any other comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay, we'll do the advisory review and recommendation of planning board proposal to establish required affordable units off-site. It's you guys, right?
Yeah. I'll give you, I'm going to give a brief, very brief background.
Yeah.
This group has seen this project priorly, I believe. It's a 16-lot subdivision located off on the westerly side of Route 2, south of the 138. It's down a bit, but it's an approved subdivision. It's going through the planning board process. It's 16 lots with 3 required affordable housing units. What the request for the planning board to consider, and they will be considering this in public hearing format next Tuesday evening, is whether or not it's an appropriate circumstance to establish 2 of the 3 required affordable units out of the 16 at an off-site location, and it's being proposed for Kingston. The general criteria for the consideration of an off-site unit is the discretion of the planning board based upon a finding that the project would be infeasible and the off-site units is, in the interest of the community versus on-site location. Here tonight, representing the project, are Mr. Robert Carr, who was the public face of this project going through as the presenter and
mouthpiece.
Well, no, I wouldn't use that term, but and Joe Lombardo as a consultant. So, Bob, do you want to discuss it a little bit?
I'll talk about the one thing that's not the business of Joe or anyone else. Is this one of the reasons this happened was when we bought the property, we got the master plan, and our application for the master plan. It was, I think, 3 days after that, someone lowered the 120% to 80%. And I came back to the town and pleaded my case. That kind of a hardship, and because I had my master plan submitted, was I vested and didn't have to deal with that, and I was told no because my application was not complete. And I guess my only feeling is that as a human being, I think someone could have called and told me that this was coming, because it certainly wasn't known just the day or 2 days before, because I would not have done the project with 3 of those on the site. It was just a constant. So if I had known it, I would have just said, thank you, Lord, for that. And I mean, I was just a little disappointed that I wasn't able to find that this was coming. So now that I'm committed to that one, I'm going to go. I guess I'm looking for some sympathy and some help. But at the same time, I think also providing in some ways some better housing in the duplex in Kingston. It's a new duplex. Yeah. And I think if you saw the site, you can see that the new project on the street would help the aesthetics of the street too. It's kind of a dumpy section, whatever.
It's a vacant lot now.
Right? It's a vacant lot. And we'd be building one building, which would be a
duplex. A couple of houses were built on that same side in the last year or two.
Well, the sewers were extended to that area a couple of years back.
Yeah.
There's a, you know, an area, it's a Bean Farm and Diane Drive and Berth Avenue is a dead end off of,
right, yeah,
off of Diane.
Yeah.
And this particular lot, you know, absent sewers, would probably be fairly difficult to build on. I don't think it's wet, but it's good. There's a high groundwater table, very slow perk in that area. People, when the town did the sewer service in that area several years ago, was, I think, largely at the behest of area residents who have experiencing difficulties with OWTS servicing their existing homes. So they brought the sewer line in, and, you know, that's this lot is within that district. And, you know, Kingston.
And the sewer
does
pump
have,
is down that end, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well.
Yep.
So are you proposing that duplex would be a rental and the one on site would be home ownership? Is that what you're proposing, or?
I'm sorry.
Are you proposing that if you built off site units, that that duplex would be rentals and the one on site would be home ownership?
That's right. Because Ben and I have talked about it a couple of times. There certainly is not an abundance of decent rentals in town now. I looked at that and said, you get some young couple, someone's a professor at the school, or, you know, someone just starting off, or graduate students and stuff like that.
Marketing plan.
How many bedrooms?
What?
How many bedrooms?
I don't know, and you're going to have to forgive me. I don't know what constitutes a unit in terms of definition. Is one bedroom, two bedroom? I don't know.
Oh, no, I'm just wondering what you're planning.
I haven't, because I don't know if it's a
if you're going to do it, yeah, okay.
Okay.
Well, there's not, I don't know if there's a specific requirement for the number of bedrooms, but. Keep kicking that stupid thing. You know, duplex is permitted on the parcel that is being looked at. It's about 16,000 change square feet, R10 zoning district, 80 feet of frontage is a requirement. I think it meets all those.
Yeah.
Water and sewer. If you didn't have water and sewer in the R10, you'd need 20,000 square feet.
Yeah.
It's got a little better than 16,000. I think I wrote it down, but.
No, I think
it's 16,001, you know, just over 16,000 square feet, 0.37 acres.
So my question more is, when you say an affordable unit, what are you guys normally looking for? A one bedroom, two bedroom, five bedroom?
Three would be great.
Yeah, well, no, I don't think we can do a house that big on there and do it as a duplex, two, three bedrooms.
It'd be nice, just nice to have
it. More likely it would be two.
Yeah.
Well, less likely one, I think.
Right.
A two-bedroom duplex, total bedrooms, is kind of like, I don't know. It could meet the definition, but it would have a fairly narrow occupancy market.
As one.
If you had one bedroom each side on a duplex.
Right. No, my preference would be two bedrooms in each unit.
Have you got a monitoring agent yet?
I'm sorry. What?
Monitoring agent?
Who's the people in East Greenwich?
East Greenwich Housing Authority?
Yeah. Again, can't help you. Sorry.
But that's who you were thinking about?
Probably, yeah, because that's who we used on.
What, for the on the Route 2 part?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I might as well just stay with them.
Yeah. Marsha.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So the two of the three affordable units in development would remain undeveloped. So you're taking two of the affordable units and moving them off site.
Yes.
So those two lots would remain undeveloped?
No.
So you're asking to replace two affordable units in the development with market rate units and replacing them with something that's not really equivalent off site. So you get the density bonus in the development
according to what the state law changes that we were reacting to when we made the local changes that Bob was mentioning back in February of 2015 required that, you know, regardless of whether they're on-site or off-site, that there must be a density bonus or a subsidy, a local subsidy. So the law changed, the town reacted to it, which, you know, the 120 and the off-site, because the law changes said the off-site, if you were, was at the discretion of the builder. So, you know, I think at the time the discussion was
that
you'd never see another unit built in a subdivision because they'd just all go off-site.
That was in lieu of fee, right?
Right, well, yeah. And there would be a fee paid. So we took away the fee requirement, the other change that was made. So the town doesn't accept a fee in lieu of, which was because the state calculus, you know, cut by more than half what the community could receive. It kind of, you know, in our view, it, you know, that law change kind of gutted the town's ability to manage the process through the planning board. So now you do have to, density bonuses, that was the, you still have to provide them in an inclusionary model, but if the units go off-site, the bonus units can stay on the site, theoretically. So this is approved for 16, and your question is accurate. He wants to take two units off, but the units on the site would remain.
So this would stay a 16 unit?
Correct.
This would remain 16?
Yeah.
Oh. I thought removing the two would make this a 14.
Yeah, I thought that was just the lieu of fee.
No.
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 No, that's no good.
Yeah.
Well, I think part of that reasoning is when you do the, when we did this originally with the planning board, you know, we had three affordables. So therefore, it's funny, I buy the land, but you guys give me three market rates. I mean, the land for the three affordables. Now, if I go off-site, I've got to rebuy some land to do those. And I think somewhere along the line, the state felt that my reimbursement... I mean, the state does a lot of talking about how much financial help we're supposed to get, in theory. Right? And someone probably thought that the two lots that were left on the existing thing were reimbursement for what I had to do off-site.
So what about the off-site unit, man? What's the subsidy on the off-site unit?
Nothing. I have to buy the land and build the house.
Well,
is deed restriction on?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you need a subsidy as part of that overall transfer of eligibility for.
Well, I mean, the town would waive impact fees, I guess.
For you.
And the town, and if you look at, I guess if this was something that went through, the town would have to. You'd look at it as a whole, as the lot on Berth Avenue would relate to the development parcel on Route 2, which has a density bonus. So I think if that goes forward and if that's amenable, then I would, in my estimation, it would qualify as such, not just for the density bonus, but for the forgiveness of the impact fees for the units on premises in Kingston.
So that would count. The subsidy is not defined in terms of a dollar amount.
No. No, you might recall that the state gave $1,000 a unit for Brandywine up on Rose Hill.
God bless you.
Yeah, that was my subsidy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not much of one, but it was a subsidy.
Yeah.
Would this stay as a rental for some long time, or is there...
Well, I think the restriction would be it'd be affordable. I don't know if we'd require it to be, I guess...
Right, so if it were sold, I know that it would have to stay in affordable, yeah.
Right, yeah. 80%, you know, mentioned of the 120, rentals was always 80% under the law, and that didn't change.
Yeah.
It was the home ownership was 100 went up to 120% AMI,
yeah.
And we had talked, you know, how sometimes that could yield housing prices higher for the affordables than than the ones in the market rate, which is, you know, counter to
what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
It's 99 years in the approval.
Yeah.
In my opinion, if I can speak, I mean, they lay beautifully on here. I guess I'm not really seeing a reason to move them. Mm-hmm. And other than to get some rentals at 80%, which the town does desperately need, don't get me wrong. We definitely do have a short stock of those. But as far as the layout of this, of the project itself, I mean, they lay beautifully. I know that you talked about it being close to a town center, but being close to URI is, in essence, the same as being close to the strip mall on Route 2. You know, it's not really a town center like being down in Wakefield or Peacedale. This is just my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So, and also getting the density, the bonus of the lots, and having affordable offsite and building two more market rate units is kind of double dipping.
We're not
in my
building
opinion.
Market rate units.
I thought these would be replaced with market rate units. Did I just hear that wrong?
That's what I heard.
Right. 16 units.
I'm not building market rate offsite.
On-site. Yeah. I'm talking about on-site.
In the development.
Right.
With market
rate.
Right. All I have done is taken the market, I mean, taken the density bonus the planning board gave me.
For affordable units.
For two pieces of land is what they gave me.
Three.
Just moving
they've given you
so
three.
Additional
they've
lots.
Given you three.
Two additional lots, right?
I was three additional lots.
Three.
Three additional lots for affordable, specifically
for affordable units.
So my theory is I better go buy more land now, and your bonus for those affordables.
I mean, you don't have to. You're choosing to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. If I'm going to do this process, I have to buy the land.
Which you could do anyway. I mean,
he doesn't have to designate him full lot, though. He just goes and buys the lot to put whatever you want on it. If it's part of a reconsideration by the planning board to designate that land, that lot, and those two units for 99 years as a rental, then it's the spirit and intent is retained.
No, I think the spirit and intent was you get the density bonus for three affordable rate units.
Right, to
affordable units.
That's
those are your three bonus. Right. That's not my opinion. I mean, that's what came before the planning board, and that's what we approved. The spirit was, you could build 13, you're going to get three more, but they have to be affordable. That's what came before the planning board, and that's what we approved.
Right. I think the...
So if you were to take those two and put them off-site and take those two lots and add them to the open space, to me, that's... You get the same number of units.
Yeah, but I had to pay for two more over in addition to what I paid for that.
Yeah, that's
you
the problem.
Have to.
See, if you look at what Vin outlined at the beginning, at the discretion of the planning board, then a finding of the infeasibility and in the interest of the community, those are the reasons to reconsider this. Obviously, at the discretion of the planning board is exactly what it says. But the key one right here is finding it in feasibility. You know, we're talking about a couple of things here, but we're not looking at the dollars and cents of that. It's dollar-driven, obviously. And what I gave you on the back page here, it shows you what it means.
That came in after the packages went out, but what I've given you today,
so
it's
what,
fairly simple.
Right, but what you're asking for is a density bonus at market rate. That's essentially what you're asking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you have to put it in the context of the overall approval. When you allow payment in lieu of, when that was on the table, or designating them off site, it's the same idea is that you're either giving the town or this committee the money for those units and then allowing me to build the market rate anyway, or in this case you're allowing me to move them off site and I have to buy another piece of property and build them there. So the dollars and cents, it was what drives this decision. It's not a preference in a sense that, well, I think I'll just build two units for the town off-site. It's being driven by these financials. And the financials are pretty interesting to look at because what Bob and I put together here is what is the cost, what would be the cost of that low-mud single-family home on that property? And the projection we have is $281,000, which is $100,000 over the 80 AMI. So when you look at that, he has to build three of them. That's $300,000 off. So, yes, there are three additional lots, but you're losing 100,000 on each one of them.
It's closer to 90, but, yeah.
I'm sorry, yeah. Oh, I thought it was 180.
191, 280, based on the calculation the town manager had done.
So, anyway, that's the backdrop of the request is it's understood what the development was approved at, but this is an option that's available through the regulations to put them off site. And it's not like the land is free. You have to buy the property. And I would say that the last thing, the other two items, the last item in the interest of the community, what would you think as an affordable housing committee is preferable? Two single-family homes here in this location off of Route 2, or a duplex right off, you know, Old North Road near URI campus? And those are some of the things that I put in this short thing. I mean, I went to URI, I would consider it a town center in the sense that it's a community, for sure. People gather there, people go there, I live in Hope Valley, I come here for things to do, for events. So it's walkable from this other site. You don't have to drive to it. So I think there's a lot on the table beyond just what the facts are of the subdivision. I think there's a lot of other pieces of this that may make it attractive to the town to consider it, and I think that's why they're doing it. The dollars drive it, but then you have to look at the interests of the community and decide, you know, the money that this is costing the developer versus what you gain from it. Does everybody win with this or not? I think that's kind of how I would put it.
So the issue from your point of view is it's not fair that the developer, because of the change from 120 to 80.
Well, you can see what the impact is. It's significant. Because in a lot of towns, they allow that range, 80 to 120, at the applicant's discretion. In other towns, they dictate it. So if you know that going in, when you do your pro forma and you're evaluating, you plug in the correct number and you decide what you can and can't do. And the other thing, obviously, from a real estate point of view, if you're selling the low mods at 120, what's the spread between that and the market? You have to look at that too. Where does that fit?
That's another reason not to have it.
So when you,
one of my questions is, I'm assuming you're pricing this example as the house being similar to all the other houses.
They have to be reasonably similar. I don't know that they have to be exact duplicates, but you're not going to go down the street and say, this one's 1,500 and these are 2,200. It would be pretty obvious.
Yeah, no, and we want it to look like all the others, but there are things you can do to bring the price down in terms of, you know, no stone counters, and maybe it's a little smaller that nobody else would recognize. I don't know if you can do. Can you do paved driveways in there, or do you have to do, gravel or?
I think they were talking about paved driveways, but
you can.
But yeah, there are. But your point is that you can build something less expensive. This example they're talking about is $130 a foot,
right,
for the central home.
The other problem too is that these things. I mean, I can show you a bunch of them. They don't sell. Okay, because the people that are looking at the affordable homes don't qualify at the other end for the mortgage. And it's a problem.
I understand that because I'm a realtor and
they stay in the market for a long time. So now you got to carry these stupid things.
But the worst thing was at the 120, that it was at the same price as the market during the recession when prices were going down. So why would you buy one of those, an affordable, when you can, if you can get the regular mortgage? So that had problems too. Now prices are going up a little bit.
Well,
so the spread should start to get bigger.
Bigger.
It's kind of proof that the government shouldn't be in the housing business.
I know how you feel, and I'm empathetic to it because I see it in my business, and it's our job to make it work, and you know we've done an off-site situation before, so this isn't the first time it's happened.
That's a different situation.
I think that
there was a stone soup that comes to mind.
Right.
That was not the density was less than...
He was building less dense than he could have, right.
And it was so, approved under the before the state law changed,
yes.
And before the towns, you know. Because, you know, the state law change, which drove some of our changes, was related to the fee in lieu of, but it also, you know, at the previous ordinance, if you had off-site units, you were not entitled to a density bonus. With the state law change, that you had to provide that. So, you know, that was, you know, our changes were, in, like I mentioned earlier, in reaction to that.
Right.
To try to maintain, you know, some kind of sovereignty over the process, you know.
Do we have any other subdivisions in town that have been approved where this has happened to them, do you think?
I don't think so, no.
I mean, I like the idea of rentals. We need family rentals. We don't need a... I'm not saying that we wouldn't like to have it. We would, but we'd rather not have a single professor who meets the income probably temporarily, and have the second bedroom be his office. We'd rather house a single parent with a couple of kids, because those are the ones that are tough to find.
And a lot of them don't qualify even for the affordable.
And the income's about $59,000 for a household of four.
About three.
About. I don't.
I think we see more threes than
52-ish.
They'd be in the same ballpark. I mean, you know, you get those charts that you get from Rhode Island Housing and HUD, and that lists it out.
What do you think, Jeff?
Wasn't fully aware that new law affected density.
Well,
I thought that was strictly in lieu of
at
the builder's discretion.
I mean, our ordinance reads, density bonuses and offsite exactions. Any subdivision of land development that utilizes an offsite option in place of developing the required affordable units on-site shall be entitled to a density zoning incentive as described in Section 502.6F, which is the 20% increment.
See, I think if you want to look at it in a little bit different light, when the communities passed these inclusionary zoning laws, they were trying to doing this because they need to try to reach this 10% goal. There's a lot of ways of approaching it, but that's one of the main tools that probably every town passed that.
We had to.
Jeff's example of the state providing $1,000 per unit highlights that the state mandate this, but there's no money to assist them. So their reliance
that's
is
true.
Almost entirely on private development.
Yeah, and of course we know that because when the first law was written, it was before the recession, and we saw the changes happening, and we saw that it was going to get tougher.
So the way I would put it to you as a committee is, if you have inclusionary zoning and you have to do it, and you're doing it to meet your 10%, you're telling everybody that builds a subdivision that we're going to include these additional lots because it's part of the process. They didn't ask for it. It's part of the process. So I think the way this is now written, it's giving the town and the developers a couple of ways of achieving the same thing. But again, I bring it back to the dollars and cents. As Vin knows and Jeff knows, when we do comprehensive permits, which is a different animal, they have to provide detailed project pro formas to the state first and then to the towns for their scrutiny. I'm doing one up in Lincoln right now where the state already said it was good. The town hired another consultant to review the pro forma. So they spend a lot of time looking at that. What's the developer making on the bottom line? And they're having a big discussion on that because it relates to the number of units that he's asking for. So that's a little different, but it's the same process, is that the dollars are driving the whole reason why the developer is even interested in this project. If they can't make 15, 16, 17% at the end of the day, they're not going to do it. So if you're telling them that with inclusionary zoning, you have to put three more units here, they're saying, well, give us a couple of other ways of providing it, fee of lieu of, put it on another off-site. Maybe this lot is reasonably priced. There's a big difference between putting up a duplex and two single-family homes, dollar-wise. It's much more efficient. So does everybody work out here? Well, you know, when you look at the bottom line, I think the developer does. The town still gets its three units, two of which now become maybe more effective or more useful rental than you would have here. So yeah. I think, again, if you look at these three things, that you, the planning board is going to be on their plate next week. Does it meet it? Obviously, they're looking for a recommendation.
You know, Joe, the world is whacked.
Really?
You know, the towns are required to have 10% of their year-round housing stock as affordable. So in this scenario here, you're taking two units off-site to get the three that you have to have under inclusionary zoning.
Two adding,
hang on, two off-site, right?
Two off-site, not three.
That's what I said, two off-site to get the three you have to have under inclusionary zoning.
One remaining on-site.
Excuse me? Mm-hmm. But you're keeping two new market rates on-site. So now, the year-round number of units is up by two, so we don't get any closer to the 10%, number one. Number two, there's a bill in the house, I think it's the house, where somebody wants to charge the town $2,000 a unit for every unit they're under the 10%. Now, how are we going to win? How's anybody going to win? So, you know, I'm sorry that's happening to you, but it's happening to us.
Can I ask what the proposed, maybe it's not profitable, but what's the proposed asking prices for the market rate houses? And are they ranches, colonials?
There's a mix of both because there's such a demand for ranches.
Right.
Believe it or not, over 500 people are getting tied up condos.
I'm in the real estate business, I know. I mean, if you're going to build a cake, you need to put a master bedroom on the first floor these days because 50-year-olds want it.
And a woman said to me, I had a subdivision in Huntington, and I ended up building 35 ranches, and there is not a child in that whole subdivision. It's amazing. And the first woman that came in and said, I want to live on one floor. I don't want to be in a condo. I want to have my garden and my little swimming pool. And that's why she wanted a ranch house, not a condo.
Yeah.
Just to come out. So I think there'll be a little mix in this place.
Are you talking 300s, 400s?
Oh, the high three or four.
Okay. Three bedrooms, 2.5 baths, garages.
Right, that comes back to this. Pretty hard to do the affordable. You know, and you can throw up some stone columns all you want, but you can save $500. You know.
Ranch is a little more expensive per square foot
per
to
square
build.
Foot, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah,
more roof, more foundation, but it's popular, so that's good.
I think it's a better market in a way.
Yes.
I'll be honest with you guys, the reason I am here, I would have walked away from this if I'd known that it had gone from the 120 to the 80. And when I spoke to the town manager, I, believe it or not, I actually got some sympathy. And he said, you're right, Bob, someone should have said something. Was not fair, and at that point I couldn't get out. And so I guess what I'm looking for is a little bit of help working my way through this thing. If you can tell me how we can go build an affordable out there. When you spit the other problem, you have two up there, you've got wells and septic, you can't, whether it's affordable or market, that's a big expense you don't have in some places. You've got sewers and town water. No one ever has sympathy for us.
I'm sympathetic to some degree to you because I'm in the business, but I think we got to talk about it more. Do others agree or you want to?
Well, I mean, what the planning board needs is some sort of...
I mean, like tonight maybe when we finish other stuff or...
What?
I know we need to make a decision tonight.
Well... I mean, the planning board will be opening their public hearing to consider the request for a modification of the decision on next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Whether that closes that night or not, I don't know. I'm not sure what the board will do because it hasn't been presented to them, and you know, this had been through a pretty long approval process, and it got to the point where it's fully approved, and you know, this could go forward in its current form.
Right.
Or I could go to court.
Well,
you guys don't care about that.
No, no one, you know, that's never a great option, but it's an option that happens. So.
As you were saying, it was a long process before, and this is the first. You've heard that.
Of what? The
moving the units off, the affordable units off.
Well, yeah, I mean, it came. Yeah, I mean, they'd been.
It went on for several months.
Right.
That's because of our friendly environmental girl. Took us for 3 months.
It wasn't solely because of that, but I'm not going to get into a debate about it here. What came before us, there was no mention of moving affordable units off-site, and it went through the hearing process, and that's what was approved.
We didn't alter our progression of options with this zoning change, right?
Nope. I believe so. It's the progression was
fit on site. Well,
on site
beautifully.
On site was the strong preference. Off site is intended to be what it says. Last resort. This language did not change, as I recall. Before considering the use of an off site exaction, the planning board must first make a finding that it would be infeasible to develop the affordable units on site because of environmental, public health, public safety, and or regulatory reasons, or that the off-site alternative would be more beneficial to the town than the on-site affordable units.
I don't see it here.
Yeah.
I don't see the benefit here. If you're gonna add two more market by moving two affordables off, we're not getting anywhere.
It's like backpedaling. I think they fit beautifully on here. I mean, I do have some sympathy for you. I think they fit beautifully on here. I think maybe if you tighten your budget on the affordables, I don't see it. I mean, if you were to get two additional market rate units, just like Jeff said, on here and give us three affordables, we're not getting anywhere as a town. Our percentage is going nowhere. Our affordable count, our affordable inventory is not going anywhere.
But somebody's going to get an affordable unit.
They're still going to get them on here.
It's just
rental versus home ownership.
Yeah.
It's rental or home ownership because he's going to get two additional markets on here. They're going to get three here or three off-site,
right.
Or two off-site and one on-site. That's the affordable count's not going to change. The market rate's going to change. I would support the planning board's decision, but my opinion.
Make it a motion.
I'll make a motion to support the planning board's decision.
As the original approved?
As it originally approved, I do.
I'll second that.
Any other comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you for your consideration.
Nice to see you, Joe.
As always.
Joe, see you later.
All right, see you guys. Thanks a lot.
Hey guys.
Giving us money?
I just looked down at this chair and $60 was tucked.
Yeah, I just left it there just before you came in. So I think I'll leave
it. I'm serious.
Are you serious?
Yes. It was tucked right here.
Can we split it up?
Check your chairs. I think it should go to the affordable account.
I think Jenny should get it for doing these minutes.
I'll give it to the custodian or to the town manager's office. Somebody may be looking for it.
If you can tell me the serial numbers, they're yours.
It's tucked way in here.
Yeah. Wow, that's weird.
Really?
So yours? So your money?
Mine, yeah.
You are fast.
We're
that's
the
good.
People to use this table.
Was the planning board? I thought you said we were. Oh.
No.
It's called independent.
Yeah.
All right.
There was a...
Carla.
Carla, yeah.
Yep, I talked with Liz, as I said I would last month.
Yeah, I
registered. Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were here. Were they in this room earlier, historic, or were they next to her? There was a meeting earlier today. I don't... There might have been something in here today. I don't know. But I was up on this floor.
So Carla's here. Carla's here to do a story, but also to help us explain. Do we have time to do that tonight?
Explain what?
Explain why we're doing this and why we need help. And
I've been doing this since 1988, and I don't know why.
Because he randomly buys cash and...
Well, maybe it was part of talking about the legislation that might be given a kind of a bit of a platform.
Yep. Okay. You want to... I know we got that paperwork in your mailing to us.
Yeah. It was just a few bills. I mean, if you go on the... I don't know if people have done it. If you go on the state legislators' website, you can sort pending bills by category.
Yeah.
Or if you know the bill number, you can pull up the status. It's actually a pretty decent website. And if you know a bunch of bill numbers, you can print a report with the status of all. And it'll tell you if it's when it was introduced, who introduced it. It gives you a little thumbnail on the bill. And so, you know, if you click on housing... and actually, there's not as many bills pending for housing as I recall
in years gone by. Right. But odd ones.
The ones that are there are doozy.
Oh, there's some.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's getting all crazy.
There's some interesting ones on there. I think, there's, I don't know which one you want to talk about.
Which one to start with? How about the $2,000?
Okay. Yeah, that one. That was interesting.
I move we send a letter to the town council asking them to write a letter to the General Assembly telling them to throw that in the garbage.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it was a story a couple weeks ago about Westerly.
Yeah.
I mean, it was unbelievable. This isn't working for us.
Westerly thinks they qualify under the infamous 15% of your rentals if you have so many rentals in the town. So, you know, it's their right to look at that. But they just passed a moratorium on comp permits. Any affordable housing project that comes in, they'll entertain it. Affordable housing project, not comp permit.
The town was
for right.
Yeah.
So are you saying that they are aware of all apartments in town and some of them are affordable but not officially?
I don't think they have the data to support their position.
Okay.
Have the right.
Well, Westerly passed a moratorium back in late March for 90 days, is it?
Yeah.
It seems like they're reacting to a particular comprehensive permit that was on a 7-acre piece that would have 32 units where the zoning would support about half of that. But they're also talking about, you know, under the law as it exists, there's exemption. If you have certain housing characteristics, you have the ability to deny comp permits on that basis.
Right.
There are a number of urban communities, and the criteria are that you have, and it's in the definition of low and moderate income housing, and this is Bill H8014. Which is introduced by Kennedy, Azzanaro, Filippi, and Gallison. And it was an act related to cities and towns, low and moderate income housing. And one of the things it does, and the little thumbnail, is it reduces the definition of low and moderate income housing existing in the case of an urban city or town from 5,000 to 3,000 occupied year-round rental units. So right now you need 5,000, and then further, I think you need those to be greater than 20% of your year-round housing, and then plus they have to be greater than 15% of the occupied year-round housing.
Got that?
Well, that's what the law says. So they want to change the 5,000 to 3,000. I think the other things, and the other things remain in place. So that, so that bill was introduced. It hasn't been scheduled for any hearing to this point.
Yeah.
And I know in, for comprehensive, you can do moratoriums when you're going to change your comprehensive permit, comprehensive plan, excuse me, for, in light of some crisis that you, or I'm not sure how this comports with that, and whether, and whether this bill has any chance of moving forward. I honestly don't know, but
I honestly don't think so. But you never know.
Well, you never know.
Trump might show up. And
that in lieu of thing went through. I
well,
and have an opinion.
Yeah, Westerly has 12,000, just over 12,000, 63 housing units. 67% of single family, and multifamily is about 33%. I'm going to break it, but then their current of their year-round units are 10,400. Very similar numbers to South Kingston in terms of number. 544 as affordable. So they have 5.2%. They need 499 units to meet the 10% goal. Interestingly enough, they've had five homes funded through Building Homes Rhode Island bonding.
Westerly?
Five.
You could probably have it there.
I don't know, but and most of their greatest number, similar to a lot of the communities of existing affordable, is housing, elderly housing. But you know, there's programs to support that. I mean,
right.
So that's not a, a big surprise.
Street too, right?
But
your street and stuff.
Yeah.
But that, but that's, that bill has not, that bill has not been scheduled for any hearing. It was introduced on the 30th, so just, you know, just last week, and referred to House Municipal Government Committee. So.
So we'll watch it and see.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly don't know if other. It's an interesting bill, but I don't know. But that one, in fact, that's as of, I checked today, actually. I was kind of thinking, you know, their housing distribution is pretty similar to South Kingstown, except we've got a little more affordable percentage than them. And about, you know, same number of year-round units, bless you, is very similar. And our distribution of elderly and, you know, kind of similar, but, you know, not particularly surprising. I think Westerly's demographic is a little bit like South Kingstown's in a lot of respects. So. But they're grappling with it, but they had that one subdivision. I don't know the details on that, and I haven't had an opportunity to talk to Marilyn Shellman, their planner, who's a, you know, a friend of mine, but just that I haven't had a chance to chat with her. But that was one bill I, you know, thought was pretty interesting, and that, that a Mark had pointed out this article, as had Carol Baker in my office, who gets the Westerly Sun at home.
She, used,
and she mentioned it, and that's when we looked at it in the office, and you at the same time had looked at it, apparently.
Yeah.
I did also, I think, provide you folks with a copy of some material on the other bill that would propose the fine. That bill would propose a $2,000 fine for each unit below the required minimum, and that's what the bill was that? I think I had a copy of it. That was pretty interesting.
You know who that came from?
Well, the bill was from a kind of from communities that would benefit from this, because they would also, if you.
You can buy.
Community could buy
sell you
for 1,000 versus 2,000, but that bill would cost a community like Westerly or South Kingstown close to $1 million.
Must be a lot of people on medical marijuana
and,
out there.
And I think there's at least 32 communities in the state that would be punished by a bill like this in, beginning in 2018. I got to think, you know, I think that bill is likely DOA, but, you know, it's still up there. And it was, you know, it was vehemently opposed by the Property Rights Alliance of Rhode Island and the, was it the Center for Freedom of Prosperity.
Yeah, Freedom of Prosperity.
So it's kind of creating some strange bedfellows in terms of agreements about that this is... But it will be a vehicle for discussion.
I just don't see it going forward. It's ridiculous. Towns would have to pay that kind of money when we can't get the number that we want.
It says 32 communities are below 10%.
Yeah.
The entity that controls most of the financing in the state, or I won't fund anything down here. The per unit cost is too high.
Yeah, and that bill was introduced on March 23rd, House Finance. I think that's the one, yeah. But it hasn't been scheduled for hearings to this point.
Well, let's watch it.
Yeah, that's worth it's kind of an interesting one, but, it'll be a good vehicle for discussion, but... let's see, there was also a resolution to create a study committee. That's House 7989, and that would create a special legislative commission to report back to the House in February of 2017, and the bill itself defines what the...
That was Donna Walsh's bill originally.
Was it?
Yep.
Yeah.
She didn't get reelected. Now it's been picked up and modified to some degree because there's no Senate members in this bill, is there? This House?
I don't think so. I got the bill here. So. Yeah. But that bill, I think, is also being opposed by the Center for Freedom and Prosperity. It's three members of the House. I don't see any Senate membership. In that. Maybe there's a reference to the Brookings Institute study that was released not so long, relatively recently by the governor's office that talked about economic development and housing issues.
This changes the reps from small communities. Was 25,000 in Walsh's bill. Now it's 35,000 population?
Yeah. Four will be, the composition would be 13 members, three from the Rhode Island House of Rep, not more than two from one party. The president of the Builders Association, a designee, executive director of Rhode Island Housing, or designee, president of the Housing Network, or designee, one of the board members of Grow Smart Rhode Island, or designee, executive director of the Rhode Island Coalition for the Homeless, and members of the League of Cities and Towns. And then they would split that between towns of 35K or less and two, I guess would be with a 35, greater than 35K and then two less. Mm. And there would be the executive director of the Pawtucket Central Falls Development or designee. So I don't know if this hasn't been scheduled for hearing to this point, but it is a resolution to create a commission. It's not,
Yes.
Legislation per se. So there's the penalties. What else have we got here? Oh, there's also Senate 2446, which is a bond. That's the $100 million bond that's introduced by Senators Pichardo, Crowley, Jabor, Nestlebush, and Archambault.
No release.
Yeah. But that's a $100 million, and that would, if successful, and, I guess I would think that this would be a good thing if it were successful to be, have to go before the voters in.
I think they're going to spend it over 4 years. It doesn't say that there, but I don't think that's a...
Usually they'll meter it out,
Yes.
Because, it's expensive to do bonding, I suppose, but
it has to be, what do they say, dug ready or...
Shovel ready.
Shovel ready.
Yeah.
Are there a lot of those sitting around waiting for this?
Well, people are reluctant to go beyond master plan approval. Because the money's so hard to get, so be shovel ready, and you need final approval, and be ready to pull permits.
Interesting to know sitting around.
Well,
they may have to change the requirements if there's not enough. Give them time to make it. You got anything in that pot?
I've got probably 4, 5, 6, I got 7, 8 units scattered around that I have master plan approval, just kind of hanging around waiting for something to break. But, you know, to go all through the engineering and everything, you know, on a small project like that, it's not a lot of money, but...
It's a tough business. It's
money you don't have.
Right.
And CDBG doesn't want to give it to you anymore.
Yeah, well, the bond would be, generally a good thing to put that kind of... It seems.
I mean, they passed it how many years ago? A big one.
2006, wasn't it?
Yeah, so we've been through a lot since then.
Well, that wasn't $100 million. It wasn't $60 million or something. Was that? Is that? What was it more than that?
75. 75 million.
I don't know. I remember 50. Mm. I don't know.
We've had two bonds.
Good memory. We've had two bonds.
Right.
And they were very successful. We didn't see a lot of it, I don't think, down here. But you know, they produced some units, and then Housing Works RI just released their analysis of housing needs for the next, 10 years. 3,500 units a year to meet demand on the affordable side. Mostly young families and seniors.
Now, yeah, that was interesting.
Housing forever, opposed senior housing. And now,
I was surprised with the seniors because there's been money available.
Well, the population's growing. It's not available anymore either, that money.
That's true. So that was the article in the...
Yeah,
and the journal.
I made copies of that. So,
talk about.
I hadn't. I know that report was released, and I hadn't seen it. I don't know if it's on their website yet.
It should be by now.
Yeah. It wasn't today, but.
Oh yeah, I saw this.
This was a.
Oh, I like this font.
Yeah.
That's from the journal. You know, you.
Well, when you download it for you,
touch it twice, and that's how it comes up.
Really.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe for the older generation. You know,
I have an older group reading that paper, including me.
There was one other bill probably worth mentioning. It was Senate 2625, which was an act relating to state affairs of government, Department of Administration, which would prohibit the state guide plan from requiring any city or town from adopting a housing ordinance that exceeds the laws of Rhode Island or the cities and town zoning laws, I think. It was related to statewide planning program and a perceived requirement that they would require densities higher than the community in the comp, to be supported through the comp plan and zoning ordinance above which the community had in place. That's been introduced and referred to Senate Housing and Municipal Government, and I don't believe it's been scheduled for. That's Cody, Reptakis, O'Neill, Cattell, and McGee.
I don't know.
East Greenwich, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. That, I don't know if that bill has legs either, but we'll see. It's always hard to tell. But, that Housing Works, I would like to see that study because I think it's interesting talking about. There has been, as we all know, a lack of housing production kind of across the board in the state over the last several years at, recession-based and then crawling out of that. I think the subdivision we talked about earlier was one of the few traditional single-family home subdivisions we've really seen in a couple of years before the planning board. We're seeing a lot of smaller things.
Just that one that we had to look at again, the Castle.
Castle Farm, which had lain dormant for many, many years, right? That was years, actually.
Years.
But new things coming in, not seeing them. We've seen, there's been an increase in activity, but not the larger tracts of land available or, and that's not just South Kingstown. I think Westerly, in the last year, they only did like 47 new units in their community.
Yeah, it was 44 here, right?
Something like that. Yeah,
Our building permits are on the rise, aren't they?
A little bit, but not, you know, not like the hate, you know, in the, you know, we had huge heyday in the 80s, but then the late 90s and stuff, you know, 100 plus a year was not unusual, but of late it's been, you know, lesser.
And 44 is less than just a few years ago, predominantly because of some condominium.
Right, we had build outs of.
But single family housing building is.
Right. But I know Jeff was mentioning about elderly. Was that you mentioning that a need or was
it? No, it came out of that Housing Works RI study.
I think elderly affordable. I mean, we've seen a fair amount of elderly only housing being developed over the last several years. And now we do have, you know, there'll be market absorption for the South County Country Club, which is, you know, 303 units. Mm. And then, you know, we got the build out of Wakefield Meadows, which was these, you know, pre-affordable requirements for both of them.
Yeah.
So those will be moving our baseline further out.
Yep.
Provide a need, but not for the affordable.
Yeah, that's. I mean, that's. Yeah, that's
a large number.
Yeah.
Yes. But the market's changed. I'm just thinking, like my own circumstance. We bought our house about 20 years ago for $201,000. And at the time, I was like, oh my God, you know, and it's like, you know. But now that, you know, and there's been appreciation, obviously, across the board in the community, but just, you know, it's different. And how it gets dealt with, you know, it's real difficult. As everybody knows, it's really difficult.
By now, anything under $300,000 is going very fast if priced right. And there's a lot of it. And there's some decent houses there.
There have been a couple of houses for sale in my neighborhood. They've been on the market for less than a week.
Yes, right.
And they went?
That's what's happening. Multiple offers have priced right. Then you have other houses in the neighborhood that are there for a year with the owner saying that no realtor can sell it for them.
It's because
of course, I'm a little sensitive to that.
Yeah.
How about you price it right?
Yeah.
And it'll go in a week.
So there's demand, but if there's a the pricing. But I think option-wise, you know, it seems like rental's still an issue, obviously. And
big time. I mean, if we have one or two or three rentals, we never have three in our office at one time. They go as soon as they come in.
No kidding.
We don't have a huge business with that, but it's a kind of a side thing. But it is. All we can say is keep calling us because we might get something, and we can't track them because we could have 150 in a month calling to ask, but when they find something to rent or they go north, they don't call and say, take us off the list.
Right.
So we found ourselves trying to keep track, and we just said, check back.
Mm-hmm. Bless you.
Thank you.
According to Housing Works, our average two-bed rent is $1,300 a month. And they're saying that the income needed to afford that rent is $52,040 a year. So that's probably a little under the 80% area median income.
I think they do a great job, and I've said this to you before, unless they've changed it. Those some rental numbers they give are based on advertising.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean,
I can tell you that landlords don't always get what they're asking for.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's a little less.
Yeah.
But it's tough.
And our median home price, according to Housing Works, is just under $302,000. And the they use the income of almost $91,000 to afford that median, you know, half above, half below a home. So that's it.
And we're not building enough to.
Right.
Not enough houses for.
Yeah, we did about.
So that's what causes the.
I think for 2015, I suppose we did like, according. New units authorized were 48 units from South Kingstown.
Yeah.
And I mentioned earlier, our affordable percentage is 5.4%.
and yeah, that number's going to get worse here in the next couple of years.
Well, and the number, you know, with the next decennial census, then you get a new baseline.
Right.
So you kind of get a little bit of a break, you know, as you get away from the 2010 towards 2020, but once that new number kicks in, it's going to reflect all the new units built and whatever the year round is, that's your baseline.
Yeah.
Because you remember a couple of years ago when the 2010 census numbers were finalized, everybody's, all the affordable housing percentages in the state went down because we had, there was a new baseline.
Did you check with Rhode Island Housing or Housing Works about?
Yeah, about.
Was it?
No, they just didn't, they hadn't picked them up. And I didn't, okay. I wasn't sure when they closed, but Cheryl had actually helped with East Matunic Farms. There was some affordables in there that weren't reflected in our percentage, and I brought it to the attention, and Cheryl provided me the closing dates and everything, which you know I wouldn't necessarily know when something sold.
Right.
It's just kind of hard to track in town hall with the, you'd have to know it was an affordable and know when it sold, and you know, planning would have to check with the tax assessors and the town clerks. And
so East Matunic Farm managed to have affordable units in there.
There's three that are sold. There's four that are sold already?
Yeah.
How many were there?
There's two more in the next phase.
Mm. They sold quite readily,
they
right?
They sold very quickly.
But they were up to 120%.
Yeah.
Up to what?
They were almost $300,000. Yeah. They were 280 something.
Yeah. Well, interestingly enough, below the median cost of a home in the town.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that's kind of a.
Sold rather quickly.
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that was.
I wonder what his profit was. I mean, I don't care what the profit is.
They were nice homes, too.
Yeah. Have you had nothing? Do you monitor those?
Mm, we do. Nice homes. Two young families and two elderly.
Hmm. Yeah, I know. I mean, the numbers that were shown earlier, if you know, take those, you know, if there's like a $90,000 delta, and then an argument could be made that to spread the cost of those units across the whole of the development.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of developers may not look at it that way. They look
yes.
at, I make X on this unit, but if developer's doing the whole development, you know, that's part of the ball of wax. And so you'd have to, if you spread it over, it does require, I suppose, that the other market units have a higher price increment or a lesser profit percentage, so that, but I don't know if the development community, you know, looks at it that way.
Right, because they don't want it. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, things are getting a little better. So the first house that's built, if they finish up in 2 years with the last one, it's going to sell for more.
Hmm.
Well, it depends on the guidelines.
Well, yeah, well, but I mean the market ones.
Oh, the market ones.
You can assume that profits will go up a bit because it becomes popular. You know, first people in a subdivision, talked about it before, I think, are called pioneers because they're going to be building with the dust and the road noise and all that stuff. And as it becomes sold, it makes other people feel more comfortable about going in.
What do you call the last people in there?
Trailers, I don't know. But I can tell you, subdivisions all over town, the developers would say, pick your lot. They always pick the one in the cul-de-sac.
Hmm.
Yeah.
2.5 years later, the lots on the corner of that nice road up to a busy road sold for the most of all the lots.
Hmm. Yeah.
And not as good as location.
Yeah. Hmm.
So, and you know, when he said, well, I have to buy another lot, I'm like,
no,
you didn't have to.
You didn't have to. He doesn't have to, probably won't.
Well, I mean, you know, if there's a challenge of some sort.
That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah,
he never said anything when it was before the planning board. There was word.
There was discussion, you know, on a staff level of, you know, grousing about, you know, the requirements. And, you know, I don't necessarily, I don't, agree per se that the timing, you know, there's a requirement. It seems to be for any developer has to
due diligence.
You got to do your homework. And that ordinance didn't sneak up on anybody. No. That was duly advertised.
And the whole, like, oh, well, you know, we couldn't back out at that point. Sure you could. Right.
Yeah. I guess I don't know. I don't know the nature, but
depends on his deal.
Well, there'll be more to come on that, you know, Tuesday next.
But anyway,
I didn't realize that he retained the inclusionary, the bonus.
Yeah, I'm very surprised.
Well, I think but that was the requirement of the state law change. That, and I think the towns.
I gotta read that.
The towns changes.
That doesn't make any sense to me either.
Yeah. Well,
I have to find some time to actually read a state law. Oh my God.
No, I mean, you had to still, I mean, that was that part was taken away. You know, you get the bonus and pay. The law said the developer would get the bonus and pay the offsite fee.
Right.
And then the fee was defined. So if you don't,
he'd get the bonus and not pay the offsite fee.
And not pay the offsite fee, right?
That's how I read that.
No, if they paid the fee, they would get it. They'd still get the bonus.
They still get the bonus.
Right.
But it didn't say, I didn't think it said, if he moves his two off, offsite, he still gets the bonus.
I mean, our ordinance says that.
Yeah, I have to read
that. And
I got
to
read the state.
That's the flip of, well.
Is that every town and state, or is that our town ordinance?
That's our town ordinance, but it's a state enabling statute that
I think a lot of towns, when the state passed that, they got rid of the fee in lieu of because
similar to
it
what
no
South
longer
Kingstown
made
did.
Sense.
But you know that was
its justification was not what you were reading there, as far as you know the hardship forcing him to take.
Right. I mean
the affordable units offsite.
Well, I mean, one of the things it does say is regulatory reasons. So, I mean, you know, a developer making the argument,
right?
You know, it's up to them to present their case because the way it's listed for South Kingstown, you know, it's really simple. It seems in a lot of senses, if you build them on site, then there's all these other things don't come into play at all. Yeah. And you recall that when we had the fee in lieu of, we never took a fee. Everything was always.
Yeah.
Either on-site or rehabbed off-site.
Mm-hmm.
There was the relatively limited experience of it.
Yeah. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So maybe for the next time, there was also an article in the journal, and I guess I didn't bring it, about, this is in California, but there's a group there trying to go into their cities and towns and asking for that the rentals have to like they have in New York City have to stay at a certain price.
The control?
For the controls. Okay, And I think that could come up here at some point in the future. Because it's the market's so tough.
Bernie Sanders gets elected, it might.
Well, you never know. Could go the other way, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, our problem in Rhode Island housing has been singing the song for years is supply.
It's what?
Supply. You know, the rents are what they are because there ain't enough of them.
Right.
Even these 3,500 units a year they want, they say most of them should be in private. Where the hell are you going to put them?
You can buy them from Providence now.
Yeah, you can buy them from Providence.
Well, yeah, that bill passes, yeah. On the new 610 Connector Boulevard, they can
buy
them. Yeah.
Actually, yeah, that could work.
Some tiny houses there.
What do you say? Nancy had that same idea for 95, remember? Mm.
Well, I like the idea of boulevards, but...
Yeah.
Boulevards better than bridges, right?
Yep.
Engineering-wise, I suppose, right?
We were looking at a tunnel and that interchange back in the 90s.
Yeah.
When I was at DOT. Just a big nut to crack.
There you go.
Yeah.
Big bucks.
Yeah. Right.
That's right.
But you know, it's always worth, by legislative wise, if you like on a Monday or a Tuesday, go to the, you know, look up the committee calendars. But they're, you know, because that's when these things come up, and they come up a lot of times. You get, I know the League of Cities and Towns does a good job monitoring, and they provide, like, these note, you know, and the Rhode Island APA does a, they try to keep track, but a lot of times it's at the rise of the House, which, or the rise of the Senate, which, that's not a specific time.
It's not having to do with the sun. <that morning.
laughs> No, it's when they, you know, when they finish their business, so you could, I mean, and it's a difficult for some of the outlying communities like South Kingstown to, for people, staff people to get up there, and you know, you got to kill half a day to, and you know, the rise could be late, could be early. The committee may decide not to take something up.
No rise at all.
Hold it for further study. It's like, it's an interesting process.
Does anybody know if there's been anything proposed to increase the tax? The tax on closings,
transfer tax.
Yeah,
I haven't seen. I haven't heard of that. But
this would be the first time I would say, for our reason,
I would. You're going to support it?
Yes.
What happened to you?
But they usually they something they try something every year with that issue.
Well, they Write that down. Make sure. Put that in the minutes.
I don't think I wouldn't be happy with it for any other reason. I don't think, but I would consider it.
Well,
anybody have anything else?
No, sir. I got nothing.
Okay, so.
So for our regular meeting at the end of the month, I'm going to be in New Orleans.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
You're kidding. You're going to be there?
Yeah, 30th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, we're going to be down
Wait
there for a
minute.
Week.
I think I'm before you, though.
23rd to the 30th. Then.
I'm going to be there then.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you going to Jazz, Jazz Fest? Then?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Cool. How many years?
30.
Oh.
I know.
Anyway, so we'll have to figure out scheduling issues.
Is there a need for one now that
well,
you know of?
Maybe, perhaps not, but we'll figure it out. If any, I'll be in touch by email with everyone regarding schedule issues.
I would like for us to be able to, it's not part necessarily of the meeting, to talk with Collar at some point about the needs in the town.
I mean, there could be an agenda, even without specific recommendations required to have that kind of conversation.
Could you come back?
Okay.
Thank you. So we normally meet on the fourth month of the month.
Fourth Thursday, yeah.
So I'll let you know if we're going to have a meeting. But I'd like to just sit with her for 20 minutes and talk about the issues. And
If we have a meeting that doesn't really have an agenda, sure.
Yeah, we just have to post it as such. You have to make sure.
I think probably want to talk with Carla though while we're all here, so maybe the following month.
All right.
And who's absent?
Gene Behe and Alice Buckley.
Okay.
Yeah. Do they? You know, I imagine our next get together we'll have a full complement.
Yes.
Okay.
Which will be in May.
Yeah, if not late April, probably May actually.